I'm sorry. Here we go. Hello, this is Gary Connor with Lean Enterprise Training, and I have with me a friend, a mentor, Dave Dixon of Technical Change Associates. And Dave has been good enough to sit down with us and spend a few minutes talking about key factors in the success of lean manufacturing transformation. So he's got an article he's written entitled The Top 10 Secrets to Lean Success. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dave.
Thanks, Gary. Quickly survey this top 10 successes of lean and leave you with a few key points. The first point is manage the lean implementation top down, and a key point in this area is the need for management to assume full responsibility for the implementation. It's not something that you can really delegate. You have to own that yourself and drive it from the top. And closely connected with this is the idea that you need to create a burning platform for change. You need to communicate to your organization why it is that your company needs to change and to get better. And that communication needs to be constant and emphatic reiterated over and over again. The second point has to do with quickly driving lean benefits to the bottom line. And the key point here is that very often events early on that are kind of quick and easy to do, high probability of success, but they really don't get anyone's attention. Are very powerful. So why not choose areas of true heartburn, areas where we can make some money and make some gains and do a better job for our customers and go to work on them. Avoid a shotgun approach. I would rather see fewer projects, higher quality, more significant than a whole lot of little things that really maybe don't significantly impact a value stream. The third point is organizing for success, and this really begins with getting the right people on the bus and in the right seats. It's not really a lean issue; it's a management. It's really making sure that you have the right kind of talent and enthusiasm in your management team to really ensure success. And then also bear in mind that depending on where you are in this journey, you may or may not have internally all of the know-how that you need to be successful. So don't hesitate to bring people in from the outside, a sensei, if you will. Make them a part of your team, make them a partner, and have them bring to you the knowledge and the objectivity and the time and the focus that's necessary to help you be successful. Also, be sure that you have identified and appointed your lean coordinators, your champions, if you will, who are going to help you get this done internally and who eventually will replace your outside resources. So it's important to have those people in place. You need to recognize point number four has to do with training. You need to recognize that everybody won't love lean, that you're going to have some resistance to change. It's difficult to hit that head on, but if we manage a learning process, in other words, if we educate and train people, we can mitigate the resistance assure our success. Make sure in your training that you're teaching the why as well as the how. As I mentioned in an earlier conversation with Gary, we need to do basic job skills training as well, and we need to test for competency in lean and basic job skills and cross-train capabilities. And we need to certify employees as a means of quality assurance and recognition. Fifth point says run extraordinary Kaizen events. Being able to scope and execute a world-class Kaizen is an art form. And it's something that has to be learned. So here again, we suggest if that expertise isn't resident in-house, that you bring somebody in from outside to help you learn how to run a really excellent Kaizen event, because you will become world-class one event or one project at a time. So in a very real sense, your success depends on how well you're able to plan and execute those events. Sixth point is get the layout right. As we identify our value streams, one of the basic objectives of a lean implementation is, to the degree possible, to physically isolate those value streams, wrap your organization around them, schedule them, load them, run them, measure their performance as subsets of the business. And so eventually shuffle furniture, if you will, in order to isolate those value streams, again, to the degree possible, and recognizing that we have shared resources is a critical part of achieving lean performance. And recognizing that it's not just the technical improvement in material handling and other things that we enjoy, but it's part of the way in which we create the lean culture. Because as we put those value streams together and we physically isolate them, we allow people to work together in a much more meaningful way. So the layout is important. The point is manage resources flawlessly. And this really has to do with the fact that poor planning drives waste. And to the extent that we can better anticipate our demand and derive from that forecast, if you will, tack times or run rates for our value streams completely consistent with what the marketplace is really demanding, then we can position capacity, we can load to our tack times, to our run rates, we can measure performance, and fundamentally have a very much greater probability of delivering on time, which is key to being a world-class performer. Consistent with that, or along with that, we need to adapt our ERP systems to support our lean implementation. We should never run the business strictly to meet the requirements of an ERP system. It should really be the other way around. Eighth point is develop world-class frontline leaders. Many times our first-line supervisors are promoted based on their process knowledge and their technical skill, their knowledge of products. We need to develop in those frontline leaders a resource, a partner, if you will, who can help us implement lean. And they should be able to teach lean over the lunch table very spontaneously and with great enthusiasm. They need to be our finest ambassadors for lean. If we fail to develop our first-line supervisors in that way, then our implementation may stop before it ever gets to the grassroots. We also need to help our frontline leaders learn to lead. We need to invest in helping them become better planners, better coaches, better team facilitators and coordinators. Try to paint a picture of the perfect first-line supervisor, and then go to work in closing the gap between what you're envisioning and what you actually have. Point nine is bring your suppliers to the lean party. In the early going, you're going to have all the work that you can do just to get your internal house in order. But eventually, you're going to want to reach out and touch your suppliers and develop suppliers who can deliver ever-decreasing lot sizes of raw material and purchase parts, suppliers who can meet your exacting quality requirements, who can participate with you in dock-to-line programs and other lean solutions, and your costs low by maintaining or lowering their prices. You probably can't do this with a huge supplier base, so you might wind up reducing the number of suppliers to enable a closer partnership relationship with those who you choose to keep. And finally, point 10 is never stop improving. You may have heard the story about Winston Churchill when he visited the boarding school where he was educated as a boy. And he gave a 7-word speech, which is thought by some to be the best that he ever gave. He said, never, 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 never quit. And then he sat down. And we can't improve very much on that admonition as it relates to your lean implementation effort. Jim Womack's term lean, which he coined to capture the spirit of removing waste or fat, if you will, from a value stream, is a great descriptor. But sum up of creating a culture where people seek to improve just because it's the right thing to do and because they've been taught how to do it. So we need to work on developing that culture. And then when we have that culture in place, we'll find the tools that are necessary to drive the improvement. Keep your people engaged. Lean tools will allow them to rationalize the process and drive major forms of waste. Now you can teach them to use Six Sigma tools and advanced lean tools to reduce variation and achieve even greater levels of quality and productivity. You need to reconstitute your plans often, run your events, recognize and reward success, and there are no limits to how good you can be.
Dave, those are powerful messages embedded in that list. I want to thank you for sharing your insights and remind our audience to www.technicalchange.com. They can receive a copy of that top 10 list, and along with getting signed up for the newsletter and learning about the lean assessment. And again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to help educate our listeners.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.